Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You ask really good questions.
Man, this seems real deep right now and a lot and complicated, but
it really is deep.
Come on, kid, I want you to sleep tonight. So I'm going to fill your belly so it knocks you out.
So, gosh, I don't even know what the question was now. It was.
My mind is going a mile a minute with all the conversations.
Because there's so many questions and it's so hard to know which bit to tell you.
Probably need a whole other podcast just to talk about this.
I'm Gina Libby, and welcome to the Weigh In with Gina podcast.
Let's get this party started.
That's not just about weight loss.
I would like starve myself all day.
It's about diving deeper into the things that shape your everyday.
You're not a failure. It's the diets that failed you.
We also include amazing guests and celebrity interviews where we're not afraid to have real conversations and break it all down.
Motivating people to be mindful about, yes, their diet, that's the first step. But I'll tell you, the level up step is being mindful about every other aspect of your life.
And of course, I'll be weighing in on a variety of topics, anything and everything, health, wellness, and weight loss related.
To me, non-negotiables are promises to yourself, and they're going to help you reach your goals, better your life.
This podcast is hosted on Acast, but it's available on all platforms, like the one you're listening to right now, Spotify, Apple, and Amazon Music.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Let's get into it. I'm here with Dr. Beverly David, a clinical psychologist. You also hold a PhD in sleep research. But of course, I want to talk psychology and weight loss. I know you are familiar with the program, but can you just tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe a little bit of an introduction?
Yes, thank you, Gina. Yes, I'm a clinical psychologist here in Ontario, but you can tell by my accent, I originate somewhere far away. In Wales. So I did my education over in the UK. So I did a first degree in human psychology and followed that with a master's in health psychology, and quite quickly realized I enjoyed the health component of psychology and what happens when our health goes wrong and how it goes right and how our psychology follows that or can interfere with that. After the master's, I went back to Loughborough University to complete my first PhD in sleep research. I just loved bringing that all together with the psychology of the day and the night and the whole person. Researching for many years and lecturing there, I decided it was time to go and do a second PhD, and that was clinical psychology. And that just brought it all together so that I could help the whole person with whatever they were presenting with.
What I want to talk to you about in having this weight loss program, obviously, that I run, I'm always talking about the impact that the diet industry has had on people. We hear all the time how the diet industry just mentally is not good for people. It's done a number on people's mental health. So I hear from so many people who, for example, started a weight loss program when they're 12. They're still trying to lose weight 20 years later. They've been successful in the sense that they have lost weight, but they gain it back every single time. You know, the diet works for them. And then when they get it all back, you know, they've failed. And so what I say to people, you're still trying to lose weight 20 years later. You haven't failed. The diets that you've done that have failed you, that must go really deep. Like, how traumatizing has dieting been for the majority of people who've spent some serious time dieting?
I think you're right to go right back to the beginning, because even working with my young adolescents and teenagers, it's already there. And it's quite scary that it's already there. You know, we've been learning more and more about the messaging that we get constantly from media, magazines, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. It's this idea of what we should look like or what we could look like. And of course, we know that even now it's able to monitor what we're interested in. So if we click on that one site we're then going to be fed these quick fixes. How about waiting, you know, 14 days, you know, the all smoothie diets. It's very tailored to that bit in us that we know that humans are seeking. And that's the idea of approval, what we should look like, what we could be like. And if we're not, we're less than. And that messaging comes from when we're young and developing, and we might have heard messages from our parents or our siblings or people at school or coaches, you know, that we should look like this or we should look like that. And it seeps into our internal dialogue.
I mean, even as we get older, we're receiving these messages. I remember when I was in university and it was one night after the bar, I was waiting for my friends. I was standing up against a tree and this drunk guy comes by and he looks at me and he starts laughing and he's saying, "Oh my, look at that girl's legs. They're just as big as the tree trunk. She's got tree trunks for legs." And I mean, that was what, like 20, 30 years ago. And to this day, that has stuck with me. It's like, it's so defining of my whole experience, especially when it comes to my body.
And that's what we might call schema, but we may as well call it our inside voice. And once we pair that together with something like what we look like, a lot of people are then going to be trying to seek out validation. You know, am I thin enough? Am I slim enough? Have I got enough tone in my arms or my thighs? It starts early and then we're inundated with messaging.
So let's say, for example, you know, people have a lot of reactions to starting my weight loss program. So you take people who've done quick fixes. They've lost and get it all back. They've lost and get it all back. Lost and get it all back. They sign up for my program. It's 3 months long. It's different. It's all about healthy, sustainable weight loss. But then they get into it. They're almost mad at it. You know, they want to see results in 2 weeks. And it's just like the quick fixes don't work. You sign up for something different and then you just want to do the same old thing again.
That is really interesting. You don't false advertise. They're buying something that promises something that's going to take time. I love that your promise is this is finally and forever, but it's going to take 91 days, you know, so that's novel in itself. Let's start knowing that this is a journey. So you, it's really good. It's not this weight will be lost in time for the wedding in 1 week. This is a structured approach.
It's like they're resisting it. I'm like, you're the one that signed up. So where does that come from? Because I truly believe people want to do something different and they want to change and they really want to lose weight and they're willing to work hard, but like they just can't seem to get past that. And I'm like, you should be excited that this is different.
I think humans are just looking for immediate results. We all want to see the quick thing happening. And now more than ever, we expect it. You know, we order something on Amazon Prime, it arrives sometimes the same day. We don't have to wait for anything anymore. And this is a slow, steady process that, like you have alluded to always in your program, your body has to begin to trust the process. And that's going to take time. But when we are looking, and our brain will become very hypervigilant in looking for results. So it's going to be monitoring, looking for any evidence, is this working? And then also it will quite quickly look for any evidence it's not working.
Yes.
Not working for me. Yes.
Yes. People will be like, this isn't working for me. I haven't lost any weight. It's only 2 weeks in. And then they'll be like, but I'm sleeping better and I'm feeling better. My clothes are changing. Like my size of my body is changing. And they'll list off all these amazing things that are showing and proving that their efforts are working and things are changing, but because the scale hasn't, you know, they haven't lost 20 pounds in 2 days, it's not working for them.
I think you're really smart in how you help direct your followers, your group to the non-scale victories. I do think that's a smart move because that really does help us look at other things so that we are able to think, okay, so the weigh-in scale might be moving slightly or not at all. But like you said, my sleep is better. I'm feeling more energetic. Whatever those things are, it's really important because the brain might be very trained to look for one thing and one thing only, the numbers, you know, and you very quickly educate that our numbers are going to fluctuate. That's what humans do. We go up, we go down, we go up, we go down. And knowing ourselves and not just that thing that we want, that magic number, is more important knowing that, you know, that's one week of the month we might be retaining, the next month we might lose, you know, we might be very sleepy on week three. So knowing our internal cues and our ups and downs are very important to avoiding those defeat, you know, mindsets.
Well, I mean, this is what I love about the program. It brings awareness to our issues and our associations and, you know, our working through old habits, creating new ones, and our beliefs, which are so deep. And I think when it comes to weight loss specifically, it's not just, you know, eating less and exercising more. Mindset is really where the work is. Like, how do we work through that? How do we, you know, get out of our own way and get in that right mindset to be able to make change?
Awareness is first. You're absolutely right. To know that we're doing something and to slow right down. We are too busy. We're in a rush. We're in a rush to lose the weight. We're in a rush for it to work. And we're in the rush generally to do everything, prepare our food, eat our food, get to work. So by slowing down and being mindful, then we're going to be more likely to be able to see, okay, when do I feel this? You know, and you direct us to do that, which is really good. When am I feeling disappointed or angry or frustrated? Or when am I blaming somebody? And then we've got to think, pause, just stop for a moment. And we can even use the acronym STOP, S for stop, T, take a moment or take a break. O, observe what's happening. I'm having a feeling, I'm having a thought. And P, practice what works. Now sit and think, maybe we journal, we think, okay, I just had a feeling of this. Where did it come from? Because curiosity is key. I don't want your listeners to be telling themselves off or telling you off or telling the industry off. I want them just to think, I wonder why. I wonder where this feeling came from. I wonder what I'm thinking. And we might think, I'm not good enough. I knew I wouldn't manage this. I knew I'd sabotage. You know, I've wasted all this time, and then sit with it for a bit. That is pausing the patterns. And that's the beginning of change, is just pausing and starting to be curious and think about things differently instead of rushing through the feeling, ignoring the thought, and then, you know, falling back into old ways. So it's all about that pause.
I wonder how much of our thoughts are wired to habits. And then if you've spent a lot of time dieting, then how your thoughts are wired to your dieting habits. Like, do we just automatically go into this state of mind when we think dieting? Like, is that how much of the program do you think is all about what's happening up here rather than what
so
you're eating?
So much of it. So much of it. Because it, as soon as people have historically heard the word diet, then they fail, because it's like, you know, it's restricting, it's this, it's giving up. And your program is not. It's slowing down. It's learning, what does the body need? Let's re-educate it. It's not what the body doesn't need. It's what does it need? Let's start there. Let's start with preparation, because of course, we've all heard the saying, you know, fail to prepare. What is it?
I can't even think of what it is.
It's failure to prepare is to prepare to fail. You know, so by preparing, then we start to think, right, this isn't going to be full of deprivation, because as soon as somebody thinks diet, they're not going to manage it. I've got to give up things. I'm not going to have fun. I'm not going to be happy. And then they forget what you always tell us at the very beginning, the why. Why are you here in the first place? And actually, it's probably to feel better. It's probably to move better. It's probably to be out and about with your families and friends. And weight is just a part of it, you know. And so that's the byproduct of actually jumping in and leaning in and looking after ourselves.
Okay, so let's talk about the need to start on Monday. Like, what is that all about? Because that's when we see our big numbers in the group. Yes. Everyone shows up on a Monday. What's that about?
I think starting on a Monday probably just comes from history of thinking Monday is day one. Monday is, you know, first day back at school, first day back at work. And we forget that that's just a name. You know, it's just a name of a day. And they're ready to be different and ready to, you know.
Do better.
To do better, exactly. So that's probably why.
And then there is that need to be perfect, though, that like, my heart hurts for people. We're a week into the program and they're like, I messed up. I had this for lunch. Should I just stop following and wait till your next program, which will be like 3 months later? And I'm thinking, what? Why would you just pack it all in because you had, burgers and fries for lunch? Like, where does that need to be perfect or it doesn't count? Like, where does that come from? And what can people do about that if they are doing that?
It's probably those demands on ourselves to be the best, have our homework done, to know what the requirement is, just to think that we might have an advantage, but trust the process because we can't rush it. Again, we're rushing because the more stressed we are and the more rushing we do, the more cortisol we are going to produce, the more adrenaline. We're going to be in that fight-flight mechanism instead of our restful mechanism, which is ruled by the parasympathetic nervous system. And that is all about, if we think about the parasympathetic nervous system, that's when we're quiet and we can digest. So we want to bring all of that on, but if we rush, I want to rush to get ready, rush to be the best and rush to finish this program, then we're already going back to those old habits.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yeah, because is there a way you can frame that? So you keep repeating a behavior, and then which could be out of habit and tied to past issues, associations, trauma. So you recognize that you're doing it. And then what? Like, how do you move past that, through that, bring awareness and get to the other side of that? What does that look like?
Okay, so that's the behavioral activation bit. Well, if you've noticed a pattern, when I feel tired on an evening and I go to the fridge and I eat, now we've noticed something. Now we have to think, why was I tired? I had a busy day. And then soon you're reverse engineering. I had a busy day and I had all of those people to manage or talk to. And that led to that behavior. Now we've got to make a plan before we're there. Because once we're there, it's really difficult to make a different decision if we're in that autopilot. So we've got to think, when that happens, what can I do? And that's a bit like that stop, take a breath, observe what's happening, and then proceed or practice what works. So you need the plan. Stop for a moment. Am I thirsty? Be able to ask yourself these questions. Maybe you boil the kettle. Maybe you have to wait for the kettle to boil. All of these moments are very small behavioral changes that slow the pattern down. And if we slow the pattern down, we've got a better chance of then making a different choice and think, actually, I'm not hungry. I could just go to bed. I'm tired. Okay. This is just a habit that it's 10 o'clock and I normally go in the fridge. So now we have this moment of calm. We're not rushing, but now we might have the chance to make a different decision. That then, when we've made many little decisions along the way, then we start realizing, I could do something different. Now we've got a new thought. Now we're believing that when we paused, boiled the kettle, had our water, and then thought about it, we didn't need it. And then we're glad. The next day we're like, oh, that's great. I feel really energized this morning. And there comes a new pattern.
I'm listening to you talk and it all seems so logical and makes sense and seems like easy. How come we don't already know how to do, how come we can't figure out how to bring awareness to what we're doing and work through these things? Because a big part of the program is strengthening the mind-body connection. I think people get disconnected from a very young age, you know, when your parents, you know, say, eat everything on your plate and you're already full. Or, you know, I'm hungry and your mom says, well, dinner's in 3 hours, so, you know, you can wait. So we're learned to ignore ourselves and disconnect from ourselves. So that's my theory on it. But is this innate thing that we have to bring awareness and to be able to work through, or is this a learned thing? Man, this seems real deep right now and a lot.
It really is deep. And there's so many things that we do at the very beginning where you're right, this starts, you know, baby-led weaning. It's brilliant. It is brilliant. But a lot of parents are nervous to do it, you know, but that's the baby playing with food, picking up the food, feed, and no, you know, along came sort of ready-made baby food. Parents started just to feed their babies, you know, and not looking even for the cues that the baby's looking away. So when I'm doing baby work, I'm teaching the parent to be in tune with the baby, because the baby is just watching you, you know. So if you're going, oh, have another mouthful, here comes Thomas the Tank Engine, they're not listening. Their little tummies are full. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that brings guilt up for new parents. You know, are we overfilling them so that they sleep longer? Again, slowing down, not rushing, and watching our babies. Are they finished? That's the first communication we have, is when we're feeding our babies, either breast or bottle, but they're talking to us. They'll suck, they'll stop sucking, and we will say, have you had enough? And then they'll suck. So that's two-way communication. I talk, you talk. I talk, you talk. But it's the sucking
mouth. I thought this was so fascinating because for years I've been talking about our associations and tied into our parents, right? And what we learn from such a young age, like eat your broccoli, it's good for you. Even though maybe when you're a child, it's upsetting your tummy, so you ignore that. Or, you know, eat all the food on your plate when you're already full. So you're learning to eat past the point of, you know, being satisfied. Or when you say to your parents, I'm hungry, and they're like, well, dinner's in 3 hours, you know, you know, wait for dinner. And so really what Dr. Beverly is saying, it goes back even further. I mean, basically since the day we are born and the associations that we are, the way we're connecting through food and what we're taught by our parents. I mean, amazing.
So, gosh, I don't even know what the question was now. It was...
Well, where does it come from? Clearly I'm just visualizing jamming food into my kid's mouth. How many times? Oh, they're being so fussy, they're just full. You know, like how many times? But just a little few scoops left in the jar, kid, shove it in. And their kid's like looking this way and saying, no, I don't want it. And we think they're being fussy, but it's not done yet. And the doctor's book says you need this much food and shove it in. Come on, kid, I want you to sleep tonight. So I'm going to fill your belly.
It's
so
exactly
it knocks you
that.
Up.
And it will bring up things for all of our listeners. Like it really will, because we'll all think, oh, did I do it right? Mm. Did I do it wrong? It's tricky. It's really tricky. But yes, right from there.
Yeah. Just not being in tune and being in the moment and being aware. And it's not too late.
It's never too late.
So this concept of I talk, my body talks, I mean, if we think about that, we really start to disconnect from such a young age. And, you know, if I think about it, the living method, it's almost like we're getting back and we're kind of rewiring our associations and, you know, reconnecting with our body's actual needs.
Let's talk past trauma and the way people can utilize food and how their past trauma fits into them making change, right? Whether it's, you know, feel worthy of making change or whatever. How do you know when you're dealing with a past trauma or past trauma is getting in the way of you trying to lose weight or accomplish this goal or any goal in life for that matter?
I think it can be tricky. I think people can come to see me and something will be going on. You know, they can't maintain a relationship, or they can't reach their goals. When we unpack it, what we're looking for is those early experiences. So the predisposing factors are what happened when you were young and developing. So we look back to that to think, is there anything that can give us a hint? You know, because they might say, you know, my parents were always arguing and I just go into my room and hide with food. or when I was a dancer, I was told you're not going to do well if you're that size. Like, if we can access these stories, then that's going to give us a bit of a clue.
Don't we all have these stories, these moments, especially, you know, tied to our past, which is affecting, you know, how we're connecting with ourselves and our mind-body connection and our relationship, not just with food, you know, when we're talking weight loss, but really with ourselves. Dr. Beverly, you know, talking about dancing, reminded me of our guest, Sarah Schulman, who was talking about when she was 6 years old, something that was said to her. I mean, then that stuck with her so many years later, and it's affecting her journey now.
Welcome to the show. You're here. You're being very real, which is, I think, how this is going to fit into this conversation. Okay. So where do we want to start? Did you always have a weight issue?
You know, I don't think I always had a weight issue, but I always thought I had a weight issue. And it's funny, when I sat down to write this story, I thought, where did this actually start? Ooh. And then I remembered that day that I went to my mom and said, I want to learn how to dance ballet. And she, without missing a beat, said, no, you're too big for that. And I remember thinking, what? Like, does my body not do that? And like, that's me.
Oh, I can't. In this moment, this is where Sarah held up this photo of this 6-year-old girl. And just you, as she's talking about it, you can hear the pain of those words that have affected her for so long. I mean, honestly, just seeing that, just this little girl, my heart breaks. Like, you never really know the impact of your words.
You know, that really sat with me. And I remember, you know, I was very active in sports, competed in a ton of different sports, but I did compete in figure skating, gymnastics, and yes, synchronized swimming. And all of those sports have a vanity component. And I never felt like I was the right exact look for those sports. Looking back, I was just fine.
Oh, like this is when we talk about past traumas don't have to be like these super dark, traumatic things. The words said by a loved one, for whatever reason, you carry forward in your life.
This is a big conversation. This is a deep conversation. I mean, this is exactly why the Livy Method works. It's not just eat less, exercise more. I mean, I'll say that a million times. You have to work through your issues and associations and your beliefs and your habits. They all factor into how you got to where you are and where you need to go. And with the Livy Method, it just has this way of bringing awareness to the things that you need to work through and deal through. It's a lot, but we can do it, and we're going to work through it, and we're going to talk about it.
I really didn't honestly realize how much shame I had been carrying about my weight loss journey until, like, you said something about it. A couple of those really key messages that you say to every group, which is like, your body wants you to be healthy. You're not in a battle with your body. And it was like, my mind was blown. And all of this massive amount of shame that I'd been carrying around, kind of not even knowing it was happening, just released into the air.
We need to go back a little bit to enjoying food together, socializing when we're eating it, pausing, putting our knife and fork down. And if we're not mindfully eating, we sometimes miss that we ate. We're like, oh, I think I had it, but I had no taste of it or texture of it or satisfaction from it. It should be an enjoyable thing, not a, I'm just going to do this.
It's really important to me not to be passive in this process. And sometimes I think, when people say it's like inevitable and there's nothing I can do about it, is it inevitable? Absolutely, it's inevitable that you will have things that come up in your life. So what I like to do is take those as opportunities to dig in a little bit. Like, why is this happening? Now you know where your work is. So like, it doesn't matter if you have 5 pounds or 250 pounds to lose. Most people have issues around food and their bodies. And the fact that, you know, I have more weight to lose, so I'm here longer, just gives me more time to work on those things, which will get me to that finally and forever instead of on that roller coaster again.
What we've got to do is hardwire happiness. That's what's going on with our brain. It looks for danger, it collects it, and anything going wrong, it's going to weigh that more than the positive. If we had 9 brilliant things happen in a day and 1 not so good thing happen, our brain remembers that thing. We have to intentionally remember the good things that happened. The little old man that kissed his wife at the, you know, the crossing, or the mum giving the cuddle to the little boy that was having a tantrum. Like, whatever that lovely moment is, we've got to remember it and rehearse those, because then our brain can start changing. Because that's what change is. It's being able to let go of all of those wires, like look out for something that's going wrong, look out for where I'm failing, look out for evidence that I'm not worthy and that I can't change.
The takeaway today, I think, is that it's never too late to make change. We're meant to change. We're meant to grow. We're meant to evolve. It's just, I think a lot of times it's more work than we'd like it to be. And it's harder than we want it to be. But it's absolutely doable. And if you just keep working through it and you keep showing up for yourself, you're going to get there. It's never too late.
It's never too late.
I want to extend a huge thank you to our guest. Without the wealth of knowledge they bring us, we wouldn't have amazing episodes like this. And I always want to make sure to point out that we don't pay any of our guests. They offer their expertise because they are passionate about helping people, and they're also passionate about what we do here at Weigh-In with Gina. So thank you to our experts, and as always, thank you for listening.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.